Grape soda.
The grape soda?
No, these joints fired them.
That shit look good. Grape soda, I ain't had a grape. When the last time you had a grape soda?
But this ain't a soda though. It's like carbonated. It's like carbonated water. But
I don't know. Carbonated water kind of trash, bro.
But look though, it's stevia, like the fake sugar.
Yeah.
So it tastes like soda.
It might be smack.
Yeah, it tastes like soda, but it's zero calories, zero sugars.
It might smack. Welcome, welcome. Welcome back. This is the Who Am I Pod. We are your hosts, Kevin Wren, King CJ. King, how you feeling, bro?
Man, healthy.
Alive.
What?
Yeah, alive.
Facts, though. Let me tell you
about my experience at McDonald's, bro.
Oh, shit.
So, McDonald's in Korea is delicious. Let me just say that.
It's a restaurant.
Now, I was drunk because, as I should be, as I have been every day since I've been here, pretty much, but... yeah, I went in there and you know, they got the little shit. You don't even talk to nobody, you just hit it on the little screen. And I was like, let me go to the special, let me see what they talking about. Well, they had these spicy chicken strips. Bang. Bang, bang. Like this shit was gone. This shit was hit, bro. I said, bro, there's no way that this shit should be this good here, bro. That shit was good as fuck. Yeah, that shit was hit.
Oh, God. That's love. Kevo free, man. We said free Kevo till it's backwards. Bro. Now Kevo free.
Bro. Get out of the soul later on. I'll pray for the kid, bro. I can't keep this up. I had to tell people, I said, hey, listen, man. After soul, bro, Saturday, bro, I don't even want to talk to y'all for a little bit.
My body need to recover.
Yeah, I can't heat this up. I'm old now. Well, let's talk about something new. Like not like my ankles and my knees, because I'm just bad. But let's go talk about something new, like some new music. yeah, I'll let you get started. So I know you got I think one more album than me, right?
So I'll start off with some singles. I'll start off with Favio Foreign with Unruly. And I've been on a Favio Foreign kick. I've been preaching or screaming his like praises for him ever since last year when he released my favorite Christmas song of all time, you know. The first thing on my wish list.
I hate you.
Dude, a baddie.
I hate you.
So on the first day of Christmas, I got a baddie on my wish list. That's what it was. But again, when Pop Smoke left, he just left a giant hole. You know what I mean? Like, he brought this sound to the forefront, that New York drill sound. And, you know, once he left, he just left big shoes to fill. And there are artists like 22G's, like Sleepy Hollow, Chef G, even CJ. You know what I mean? Despite all of his, you know, personal character attacks. But I think Favio really has the makings of a star. And I think that this is kind of a new step in his career. He collaborated with a popular producer by the name of Kenny Beats. So it's just like a step up in like what you normally hear from Favio Foreign. And I'm actually interested to see like where this song goes or where the next stage of his career goes, because he got a line in there that say, if you can sign up for the Illuminati, I want a number. Now, I'm a big conspiracy theorist. I came up during a time where there were YouTube videos coming out talking about, you know what I'm saying, all the symbols and everything like that. And Jay-Z was the Illuminati and everything like that. So if he does blow up after a song like this, it's kind of like, damn, that's kind of crazy. You know what I mean?
That's wild.
But song overall, the song is good, though. So shout out to Favio Foreign, Unruly. Definitely feel like that New York drill sound. Is dope.
Yeah. I'm gonna let it, hopefully he now it's crazy because I don't know whether to pray for his downfall or like you know,
it's crazy.
Like,
as soon as I heard that line, I was like, bro, I don't know where this is about to go.
Now I don't know what to do. Now I gotta just I'll wait and see what's next. My single here, I got Come Through, her featuring Chris Brown. Short little song, about 4 minutes. Nice song. It's to me, it wasn't like I had a couple people that was playing it that I know from around here, and they kind of really enjoyed it. I thought it was just okay. Neither one of them are really flexing their muscles like we know they can. We know Chris Brown can smash. We know hers is amazing with the vocals, but neither one of them were really like, it wasn't, you know, crazy singing. It wasn't a crazy melodic, if you would. It was kind of just like a chill song. Something maybe you might play in the background when you have some drinks or something like that, but it wasn't nothing crazy to me. Not something that I don't even think I'll add this to my playlist, so I'm being honest, but I could see the appeal of it, just her and Chris Brown in general. You get those two together and you're going to have some type of appeal on your song. So, again, nice song, just average, probably 7-8. Nothing that pushed the envelope or was crazy. And that's kind of the trend of this week as well. Just nothing too crazy.
Yeah, it's I think for me, the trend is expectations. Like when I see something and I'm like, oh, her featuring Chris Brown is about to be crazy. And then you listen to it and it's like, it could have been better. Yeah. You know, I don't think it was bad. I think her and Chris Brown are two gifted artists, but I don't think they're putting out trash. But I can understand where he said it could have been better. I think the weakest part to me was like the songwriting. Like it wasn't like memorable. It was almost like it was like saying stuff where it's like I had to listen. I couldn't vibe with the song. Whereas though the whole everything else felt like a vibe, but just the songwriting didn't feel like a vibe. So
yeah,
I understand the critique.
Yeah, it was straight. It was straight. We all off the album now?
Yeah, let's get into this. Well, first we started the EP Corday, Justin Till. And I don't know. What I think is when rappers are in a relationship, I think when artists are in relationships, they lose something. Like it's just something that's just not really there. Like when you get into a relationship, man, you get fat, you get lazy, you know what I mean? You just start falling off because you're comfortable. And I feel like that's true in life, and I think that's true in music too. And I think that this EP is cool, but it just wasn't. It just something was missing. You know, Kendrick got this song, and I think in one of his songs where he says, or he has this line in one of his songs where he says, "It's too much going on. You got too much talent, so you should rap about real life instead of rap." You know what I'm saying? That's what something like one of his OGs was telling him, and I feel like it was far too much mentioned to his rapping career. You know what I mean? Like, I dropped a classic and this, and I'm rapping. And I think really great artists speak to, like, life. You know, real life situations and something like that, and kind of give me a soundtrack to move through. Like, Vince Staples said that St. John told him that he makes great music, but nobody cares because he's rapping. He doesn't, you know, take people to another world. He just raps about stuff that kind of, it's stressful and it doesn't really alleviate the stress of others. And it's like, I didn't feel that way from this project. I couldn't take this and it'd be the soundtrack to my life, or I couldn't take this and listen to it and kind of transport me to someplace else. Like I think great music does, but he's definitely talented. He's gifted. He is a lyricist. Hopefully this EP is just like some throwaways and, you know, the next album is going to be better, but it's the mid for me.
Yeah, it's super mid. It is, it's going to be hard no matter pretty much what he does. I mean, in 2019, he dropped The Lost Boy. I'm pretty sure it ended up being in my top five of that year. It was a really, really good album. To me, he's one of the lyricists of his time. So when he came at J. Cole, at first I was just kind of like, whoa, what's going on? But he kind of got he got a little bit of bars that he could do that with. So this is mids. It just, again, it's called Justin Till. At the bottom of the album cover, it says, "See you soon." Album almost done. So this is probably just some throwaways. Again, every artist can't do throwaways like Drake. You know what I mean? Like everybody can't do throwaways like Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? Like no one has that in their arsenal. No one has the ability to just have the throwaway songs. It's also better than some of y'all songs. So that's why they call it throwaways. So this was kind of some throwaways. The What's Up song is cool to maybe play in the whip or something like that with Young Thug. It was straight. It wasn't nothing. It don't do nothing for me. That's it's just a trend. It just didn't do anything for me. It was cool to listen to for the first time. I'll probably never visit it again, but I'll keep it on my album, just on my phone, just out of respect for Corday. But I'm expecting a lot more. Like you said, your trend, like you said, expectations. The expectations are a lot higher because of how he came out with The Lost Boy. So I'm expecting a lot of better things going forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what's funny because I noticed your boy, but A Gangsta's Pain, Moneybagg Yo, 22 songs, 52 minutes. Couple features, Polo G, Tripstar, Lala. Yeah, just shit got boo boo, dog. Like, she's just not really hitting like that. Like, especially for him, it's just surprising. Like, almost nothing, too. Like, as I'm scrolling through it, like, almost nothing. Literally almost zero. And that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough for a Moneybagg Yo album. I just was in the Enlisted Club last night, and they just went on a Moneybagg Yo streak. And I didn't even, like, it's crazy to even, like, hear him. So I got back home last night, and it's like, I forgot to listen to the album, and I got a pod in the morning. Let me start this up. And I start this up, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm playing some 2K, just sitting on the bed, and I'm like, this shit, is it, maybe it's me. Like, you know, like, maybe me, drunk me right now, just not feeling it. And I think I got about halfway through, about 12, and I'm like, I'm going to sleep. I shouldn't have stayed up for this. And I woke up in the morning, and I played the rest of it. And then I played it back again before we even started the pod. And I'm like, yeah, this is just like playing and nothing is hitting. Like nothing is making my ear go, ooh, what's this? Like not even the beats really. Like not the beats, not the lyrics, not the features. Nothing about this album made me go, ooh, what is this? What song is this? What number is this? Like I did nothing. I can't remember. I literally, it's hard to remember. I remember Jhené Aiko because she's lovely. And I, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was the only thing that I really heard on the album was like, oh, Jhené Aiko, Moneybagg Yo, like, that's crazy. But outside of that, it did nothing for me. But again, expectations are high for him because he's never really done this. Like, you know what I mean? So you can kind of give him a pass, especially with the frequency of which he releases his music. You can probably give him a pass on something like this. I mean, it's a lot of songs, though, which probably was his first problem. Even though it's only 52 minutes, 22 songs, just a lot of songs. So maybe that might be his first issue on this album. But again, we do better next time. But we probably, I give Moneybagg Yo a pass, my dog.
Yeah, again, just expectations. Like I even mentioned it on the last episode. Like, bro, I'm hyped. My dog coming back. You know what I mean? I got some Conway. Now I got Moneybagg Yo. Like life is good, bro. But like you said, a red flag went up to me when I saw 22 songs. That's never a good sign to me, especially with that style of music. Like when I see a Future project and it's like 10, 11 songs, I know it's about to be something crazy. If I see a Future project with like 20, 25 songs, I notice that he didn't take his time with this. This isn't about to be his best work. And I think, again, kind of like Future, Toxic Future is the best Future. You know what I mean? I just hit your chick in some Gucci flip flops. That's peak Future. Future in a relationship with Lori Harvey is like, it ain't really slapping to say. You know what I'm saying? Heartless, like Moneybagg Yo go through the series. Like normally on every Valentine's Day, he dropped like a Heartless type of tape, something around that vibe. That's the best Moneybagg Yo. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just him on the Savage stuff. But Moneybagg Yo in a relationship is like, nah, it don't hit the same. You know what I mean? I listen to Moneybagg Yo for a specific sound, like that authentic trap. Old school Jeezy, that Gucci, like what I grew up on sound, like that Southern, just, it's like a feeling. And with this, it just didn't seem, I didn't get that at all. And I mentioned ESTG last week. It's just like that raw, that, man, I really believe he doing what he's saying he doing. Or I really believe he not that far removed from these type of situations. That's a different feeling than Moneybagg Yo talking about his girl going through relationship issues every other song. And it's like, I respect it. That's where you at. That's where you at in your career. That's where you at in your life. But I don't need that. You know what I mean? Because the style of music that he's doing, he's not even doing it the best. Like, it sound like some watered down Kevin Gates. Like, I would listen to it and I'm like, man, it sound like a Kevin Gates song, but Kevin Gates would do it better. You know what I mean? He would have a better melody. He would rap it a little bit. Like, he would just do this better. And it hurt to say, but it's like, I gotta be real, especially for somebody I'm a huge fan of. It's like, this one let me down. Now, Dirk had the best verse on here. Dirk is crazy. Dirk went crazy.
He been on people's songs doing nuts, dog.
He snapped out.
Doing anything he want on people's songs. God damn, so, man.
That was dope. But
he gave me those he gave me Ty Dolla $ign vibes though.
Moneybagg?
No, Dirk. Like his features, like, and his work on other people's stuff is always better than what he's giving me. He's starting to give me those vibes.
Yeah, I think it's just because it's easy. Well, not easy, but it's easier to hop in a bag, you know what I mean? Hop in a vibe and then bring you, then create a vibe. It's easier to hop with a vibe than create it.
Yeah, but that's true. That's true. Well, is that all the music? You got anything else?
Yeah, so we got Lil Yachty, Michigan's Bolt. No,
moving on. We got moving on. I didn't hear it. If y'all last week, I said I heard it. This week, didn't hear it.
You not rocking with the Michigan's Bolt boy?
Nah, I'm Ohio State fan. Nah, I'm Ohio State fan. I don't listen to those type of nonsense. Yeah, so now we got some pretty, it's been pretty gloom these last couple weeks, just with kind of death, the Derek Chauvin trial, police brutality is, or what people think it is and what people don't think, the media, we have some deaths going on. So it's going to be kind of a somber tone, if you would, for the rest of the podcast. But again, we're a weekly podcast, so we can only talk about what the information that we got with us today. And there's a lot of important stuff that we want to talk about today. Just our feelings and about what's been going on. And so we're going to start with Derek Chauvin. He was convicted of all charges, including second degree murder, right?
Yep. Second degree unintentional murder.
So we just kind of want to talk about maybe let's start with where we was at when we first heard it. How do we feel? Because my mom was telling me about how it kind of really gave a Rodney King vibes. And so I kind of wanted to see, like, is that true for, you know, it sucks that I have to say this in this way, but is this our Rodney King case as far as this generation? Is it sad that we're still having Rodney King-like cases in 2021 pretty much? So where was you at when you first heard the news, and what was your first reaction?
Like I said before, I was following the whole trial. Like, it would be days when I didn't go to work and I would watch it for like the full 8 hours. And I would like literally watch the testimony, wait, you know, review commentary of it when they went to recess or whatever. Like, I really wanted to, just because how invested we were last year with all of these incidents happen, I wanted to see what the legal side of it looked like. And in its unprecedented nature of just being live streamed all day, every day, and actually seeing how the legal process worked, it was just interesting to me because, like we always say, like we can demand change, but we got to understand what we're actually changing. We can't say, hey, this needs to change, and we don't understand the current processes in play. So I really wanted to see the process. And it was tweeted out. I think it was like a news alert went out saying that the verdict will be in soon and it will be given soon. And I was like around 4, but I don't think it came out until about 5 Eastern Standard Time. And I was just in front of the TV just waiting for it to be read. And I don't know if, like, again, I didn't live through Rodney King, so I don't know what it was like, you know. I'm sure you can draw the comparison just based on police brutality, the publicity that it received, and then the riots that followed after it. But I think with him being found guilty, I don't think it's a fair comparison. And I think that, you know, every generation has to struggle through something. And I think this is one of the struggles that our generation is fighting for.
Yeah, it was weird. So I woke up and the first text I got was from my mom, and she just said guilty, and I had already assumed that would be the case because I did follow it quite closely. I was in quarantine during pretty much the whole trial, and I was able to kind of watch some highlights. Obviously, wasn't up for a live stream because of time difference, things of that nature. So I was just kind of watching clips as it goes by. And what I noticed is I didn't really feel that. In my humble opinion, I'm not a lawyer or a judge or by any means, but the defense just didn't really have a lot to say. Their case seemed kind of flimsy, weak at best. And so it would have been very odd for me to see him walk away with that. Now, I still thought that second degree murder was kind of hard to prove. Because, again, if I'm not mistaken, that they had to prove that he was intentionally killing, right? It's not like he...
No, it was second degree unintentional murder.
Unintentional. Okay, so that was probably the ceiling deal then. But yeah, it makes me feel kind of weird, right? Because my first thought was like, great, right? But this is really a small pebble in a giant lake. It's just one case, right? It does set some type of standard that, hey, you know, killing black people at some point, we're going to be held accountable at some point for this. And we've seen this is the first one that it feels like in a while that feels like somewhat of a win. But at the same time, it doesn't do anything to bring George Floyd back. It doesn't make his family feel any better, I'm sure, in reality. And it doesn't really make me feel any better either to see him go to jail. I mean, if anything, you can say that now, you know, knees on necks, things like that, that type of force, maybe we can talk about that getting removed, because, again, it obviously could lead to death where it shouldn't. So, yeah, maybe that's an upside. But at the same time, it feels like we've been having this same conversation again since the Rodney King era. Like, you know, like since that type of era, since our parents were children. What is it going to take is my question. I don't know exactly. But yeah, it feels like a win, but at the same time, it feels like a big L for society in America at this point that we still have in these type of cases. Yeah, very weird, very, very weird.
Yeah, it's. I really don't. I agree with you when you say, like, I don't like the people celebrating this.
Yeah,
like it was like politicians like making speeches like, thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life so that we could, like, he didn't sacrifice his life. He was killed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people tweeting out like, oh, I can breathe again, or images of him crying, saying like, I can breathe. It's like, I don't like that, because at the end of the day, that man died, you know? And that's where I'm getting so mad, because it's like every single day, like, that picture of him being killed or that video of him being killed is just like blasted, blasted, blasted. And it's like, bro, we get it. You know what I mean? Like, now it's time for the legal system to do its job, which I think it did to a certain extent. But I just don't, I'm over the media coverage of it. It seemed like every time somebody died, like, again, a black person died, it's just all in our face. Like, it's so uncomfortable. Like, those are the times, like, I had to turn it off, where they would watch like the full 16-minute interaction or the full 9 minutes to where like the knee was on his neck and you're literally watching him die. Like, that's nothing about that is a victory. Even if he was to get convicted of like first degree murder or anything, like, that's not a victory, bro, because he killed that man. And media companies are making millions, they're getting all these clicks and getting all this advertising revenue because y'all blasting this out. And the more video and the more gruesome footage you show, the more people are likely to click on your link. And it's like, nah, bro, this ain't a victory at all. But I just hope that this is, like you said, a standard, or, you know, a demonstration of the legal system. So, and hopefully people learn from this and see why he was convicted, the strategy and the thinking behind the conviction of a second degree unintentional murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter. Basically, the whole prosecution's case was the tactic that he used in itself was an assault and was unnecessary due to the circumstances of the event. Even some of the witnesses were saying, like, even if he was to put his knee on his back, which he could have argued that he was trying to do, once he had him on the ground and once he had him restrained, that was no longer the case. Well, that was no longer an appropriate or a suitable move. So it's like that specific argument was what got him convicted. Not saying that he was a racist, got him convicted. Not saying that he killed him because he was black, got him convicted. Saying to the letter of, this exactly is what he did wrong. And being able to listen to their defense, they have their witnesses, they have everything, and then them trying to prove that there is a reasonable doubt that what he did was wrong. And all of that happening, he was able to be found guilty. And I just wish that we could civilly go through things like this. But it's unfortunate at the rate that we have to have these discussions and that we have to see these things play out in real time. A lot of people are getting fed up and they don't really have the luxury or the patience to kind of wait for this process to occur.
Yeah. And the craziest thing to me is that this was a speedy trial in general. Like, I mean, this situation happened last year and here we are this year. And he's already been convicted. I mean, we see things that take 3-4 years, you know what I mean? So this was pretty fast from start to finish. And I know it's still, he's convicted, but I know it's still some things that need to happen. But virtually pretty quickly. But it's hard to tell people how to feel emotionally about these type of things. And I know I'm not saying you did or anything. I'm just saying it does feel like we do react with emotion probably 90% of the time. And then the other 10%, maybe we look at an unbiased pinch. I think we need to flip that. There's a time to be emotional about these type of things, but it hasn't really got us anywhere. Like, it really hasn't. If you think about it in the grand scheme of things, like looting, rioting, yelling, calling people racist, arguing on Facebook with people, none of that in general is really advancing our race. Nothing is really happening when we go do that. It might make you feel better in the short term, but in the long term, you've done nothing to help anybody. Not even yourself when you go do things like that. So I think we really need to start looking at this as unbiased. And we'll talk about a case that was happening. Not really a case, but an incident that happened while this was actually happening, the trial. And try to look at it from an unbiased opinion, because I think we're starting to see a trend of what it takes to actually get a cop arrested when they kill, right? And I think it really kind of boils down to incompetence, right? It's the incompetent police work. It's something that we didn't train you that. Like, we didn't tell you to do that. There was no reason to do that based off what your training was. Like, those type of things are what can get you convicted, right? We seen the girl that walked into the man's house, thought it was her house, and shot her. Like, that's a murder, right? Like, that has nothing to do with police work. We seen, like I said, there was a guy in 2016, I think, that actually thought he pulled out a taser and actually shot him with a gun. Like, that's incompetent police work, right? So he went to prison for that. We're starting to see a trend of what can happen, but we have to look at it without all of the extra stuff, right? We have to look at it at base what it is. Is it incompetent police work? Is it something that happened because of was the death caused directly by the cop, right? Like, yes or no. If it was, for what reason? And then you could just keep building your case like that and just trying to see, like, it doesn't always have to be. We can't start with the race. We can't start with the emotions, because that's where everything else starts getting clouded. We need to look at it from a basic fundamental, from a legal standpoint. And that's what we're going to do about this next one. And it's tough. It's tough to hear. It's tough to watch. It's tough to see. And I don't want to have to see it. That's why I don't watch a lot of news myself. But right now it's feeling like programming. It feels like programming. It's feeling like it gets the people going. Like, I want to put this on my television screen because it gets the people going. That's what places like Fox News and CNN, CBN, whatever all these damn places are.
MSNBC.
MSNBC. I can't even speak. But, all these places are just putting that type of stuff on your screen, and you are feeding into it and you're getting mad about it, which I understand why you would be upset. You have the right to be upset. But what are you going to do after that? Like, what are you going to do with that energy? You just going to just get mad, get riled up? I've seen so many people on Facebook arguing with each other about this, and that's good. It's good to have dialogue. But then it was crazy, because every thread I read had about 120 comments on it. About the 50 to 60 range, it started getting disrespectful. And then that's why I'm like, why we always got to go at each other about these type of things? What? Neither one of us had anything to do with this. Why are we arguing? Like, let's just talk. Let's just have a conversation about it, and let's look at it unbiasedly. And you can't be mad about my opinion. I can't be mad about yours, because that's just how I feel about it. And we'll get somewhere eventually. But just eventually getting disrespectful, like, you corny, you goofy, you out here justifying, you doing it, you Uncle Tom, you racist, like, just. Once you start getting those, it cuts off all dialogue, and now I can no longer get on your side because you attacking me personally. So say what you want. I just say all that emotion, you can have that, and it's a time and place to do that. But what are you going to do after that? That's the question.
Yeah, and this shouldn't be a victory. Bringing it back to the Derek Chauvin, this should be the expectation. Mm-hmm. This is a wrongdoing, and this should show us what to expect from the legal process. Again, it's difficult when you're talking about cops just because of the nature of their job. You know what I mean? And we'll talk about this with the next story. They have an inherently dangerous job, and in a split second, they are making life or death calls. And some we often have the 2020 vision of hindsight to take in all the facts and look at the scenarios and hit slow motion, but they're doing things in real time. And sometimes that's the difference between life and death for some people. So I understand why it gets so complex when it comes to convicting an officer. But when we do see one get convicted, let's not make like I get it. You know what I mean? Like the emotions are surrounding this case, especially you see how this sparked a global movement. I understand. But this is the justice system. And now that we see it played out, use this as an education, use this as a springboard, use this as a way to look at things, understand the prosecution, understand the law, understand exactly what you're asking them to do. Because the reason why we only have the cases where the woman went into the person's apartment and killed them, we only have a few of those cases, but we know about the George Zimmermans. We know about the Tamir Rice cases. We know about the Breonna Taylor cases. It's because the law is written in a way to protect these officers, or maybe the charges brought against these people were overcharged because we're too politically invested and we want to see a charge that doesn't fit the crime. So again, like Kevin was saying, don't be emotional with it. Don't be overly emotional to miss the lesson learned in it. If it is a victory in your book, understand why it was a victory and apply that and kind of focus on how we can get more justice for these situations, because this is just one that went viral. This is just one that the media is telling us to care about. But there are senseless murders happening all the time in our community. So figuring out how we can stop that and how we can get more of those victories, I think that'll be better for us all.
Great. Unfortunately, we're going to move on and talk about another one of these cases, which is Micaiah Bryant. She was killed by a cop in Ohio just on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. This week, I should say. Yeah, it's this is a tough one. This is a tough one. So let's just talk about legally, is this a justifiable killing? Is that fair to say? Is that a fair question to ask you? I don't want to put you on the spot, but just bust it wide open. Let's just talk about it. Yeah,
I think
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree. For those that don't know, just a little bit of background of what happened. Apparently, Micaiah Bryant, and this is all allegedly. There's nothing really. There's some of these are facts, but some of this is kind of allegedly. Micaiah Bryant is at a foster home, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. And she was arguing with some girls over cleaning. Some girls that apparently she had been into altercation with before. They ended up getting into some type of physical altercation. There was a few calls that were made to 911. One was someone just yelling. I think that was allegedly Micaiah Bryant on the phone the first time. The second time somebody called, it sounded like it might have been an adult, which may have been the mother of the foster home. At that time, the cops had already arrived. By the time the first cop was on the scene and got out, the first thing he seen was, you know, somebody basically you can see it on the cam, somebody falling down. There was a grown man kicking somebody. We'll get into all of that. And then if you keep watching, you'll see Micaiah Bryant with a knife. Attacking a girl. Looks like she had already attacked one girl. And the cop had responded the way he thought was best, which was to grab his pistol, and he shot four times at Micaiah Bryant, hitting her, I think three times. I think he hit her all four times. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But it did unfortunately lead to her death. So here we are talking about what are we going to do about this? I guess you could say, how should we feel about this? Let's just talk about it all. Let's just let it all out. So I'll start with you. What do you think? Was this justified, not justified? I know you got your answer, and then why?
Yeah. So, as unpopular as this opinion is, I think this was a justified shooting. I think that too often we get caught up in the narrative. You know, especially with, again, when we see these things happen, we see a white officer, we see a black young lady shot, the optics of it are just terrible. And we just automatically fall. We see this too many times. We're, like Kevin was saying earlier, we're conditioned to think that something happened. But again, we have the benefit of 2020 hindsight. And when you look at all the evidence, when you see how fast this situation erupted and getting a call saying that somebody is trying to stab somebody, And again, when you stab somebody, you could potentially kill them. So I heard somebody say earlier, I can't remember the name, but they were saying, if that was my daughter about to be stabbed and an officer shoots the person that was about to stab them, he would be a hero in my eyes because he potentially just saved my daughter's life. You know, and when you see the video and you see how she was potentially going to stab her, that could have been deadly. And again, this is an unfortunate situation. But the reality is, this is a bad situation. And this is what I meant when I say, like, this is a cop's job. Do I reach for my taser and potentially not stop the situation and this girl dies and now the death is on my hand because I could have prevented it? Or do I pull out a gun and then shoot her to make sure that she's neutralized and I can save the girl? That, and all of that happened, I think, within a span of, what, 4 to 5 seconds? Taking in all this information. As soon as he pulls up, he sees somebody getting thrown to the ground, a guy kicking her as she's on the ground, him yelling, stop, everybody get on the ground, then seeing somebody with a knife about to stab somebody, that's a lot to take in. That's a lot to process. And seeing that you arrived on the scene to stop somebody from getting stabbed, I forgive me for not having the exact use of force kind of doctrine pulled up, but I believe you are authorized to use deadly force if you suspect death or serious harm is imminent from a person conducting that act. So you are authorized to use deadly force in that. And I feel like that fits it perfectly. That girl would have got stabbed in her upper body where it looks like the knife was being aimed. She could have possibly died or at least been seriously hurt. So I feel like, unfortunately, that was a justified shooting. Again, it's tragic. I hate that somebody lost their life, but that's the unfortunate situation of these type of the unfortunate outcome of these type of situations. And we can get mad at the cop, but it's so many other people to blame. It's so many people at fault. It's so many things that led to this situation. And at a point, we have to start looking at ourselves. We have to start looking at culturally. We got to start looking at adults. And to see that we lost a 16-year-old to a fight that could have been stopped, when you got so many other adults around. You got so many other adults that could have broke this up and stopped it from getting to the place where somebody died. And I feel like this whole situation is bad. And to put all the blame on the officer, I feel like this is a missed opportunity to learn as a community.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much every point you said, so I won't go over it again. I think it's justified as well. And again, it goes back to what I said about incompetence. I don't think anything about this was incompetent, like as far as police work goes. I would imagine, based off, like you said, based off the doctrine, I'd imagine you could probably pull out a verbatim, like kind of quote from that says, this is probably what you should do. Like, this is probably the training. So I have an issue with it, right? It doesn't feel good to know that somebody died, especially for these silly reasons. But if anybody wasn't competent, it was the foster parents. If anybody wasn't competent, it was the foster parents. There was a lot going on in that video that we are not talking about. We not going to talk about a grown-ass man kicking a child in her head. That we not going to have a conversation about that. A foster parent. That's a crime. We're not going to have any conversation about that. We're worried about a cop still. That's okay. Like, I can't believe that at this point, Child Protective Services ain't at their door right now taking every child out of that house. I can't believe it. Like, I really can't. The utter incompetence, right? Just disgust. It's disgusting. This should have been squashed well before the cops had to come and get involved. They're 16 years old. Like you said, she's a child. Well, then why did you let her get a knife? Why are you letting her go after another person with a knife? Why are you out here kicking people? What are you going to do? What are you doing to stop the situation? Because it looks like you're adding to it. Based off of the information that I have, that's where the incompetence comes into play to me. And again, I'm not saying that the cop could the cop have used a taser? Probably. I mean, again, it's a split decision. I don't know what I would do in that situation. You know what I mean? I don't have the training to say that pulling out my taser instead of my gun would have felt right or wrong, or I don't know what I would did. He had to make that decision again within maybe 10 seconds max, but probably in reality about 5 to 6. And he had to make a decision because, like you said, it was either do nothing maybe and watch somebody get stabbed. That's incompetence. Or to stop the threat any way you can see fit. And he did that. And if it was, again, if it was my daughter and I seen somebody going to stab my daughter, I might be having a gun. You know what I mean? Like, I might be coming at her neck like that. And I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I know that sounds very extreme. But again, I'm going to protect my family before anybody else. So, yeah, I'm sorry. But if that's the case, then it is what it is. And it's unfortunate because, again, the parents should have been able to stop this long before this even happened. So I think that if anybody should be indicted on any charges, I think it should be the foster parents, if I'm being honest. I don't think the cop did anything wrong. Legally, I don't think he did anything wrong. It does feel wrong in general because somebody died, but I think he made the best decision that he thought he could. I think that the actual, if anything, assault on a minor is something that I think that father should be indicted on. The mother, I'm not sure that either one of them are fit to have foster kids. It is what it is at this point.
Yeah, and I was able to pull up the Ohio law of when deadly force is authorized. So deadly force may only be used when the staff member reasonably believes that such force is necessary to accomplish any of the following. And then the first caveat to that is the first descriptor is to protect self or another from death or serious physical harm being caused or threatened by an inmate or another person. So when you have another person threatening or about to, or it's imminently about to cause serious physical harm on somebody, they are now authorized to use deadly force. Now, we just have to look at culturally why we let stuff get to this level. You know what I mean? And if I'm not the person to sit up here and say, yo, we need to change who we are as a people. You know what I mean? Because it's just, some things, it is what it is. You know, maybe that's not possibility within his lifetime. But I'm all for taking the consequences of your actions. You know what I mean? For example, you grow up in a certain neighborhood, you understand you can make a little money if you dibble and dabble in certain criminal activity. But the understanding is, if I'm going to dibble and dabble in this type of activity, I'm going to take what come with it. Whether that be jail time, whether that be death, whether that be enemies, whether that be anything. But we can't make the decision to dibble and dabble in a certain type of activity and then throw our hands up and be like, whoa, what's going on here? I don't understand why this is the consequence. No, these are the consequences to your actions. Granted, it's a tragedy. It's fucked up, straight up. It's just messed up that it had to end this way. But this is the result of these type of activities. This is not the case of George Floyd when you have a helpless person ruthlessly being murdered in the street. This is the result of that type of activity. And when police are involved, now it's out of our hands. We can start a conversation about self-policing. We can start a conversation about controlling what's going on in our own communities without calling outside entities and having stuff end up like this. We can start a conversation about personal accountability and having adults be willing to step into a situation rather than sit around and record it. We can have that conversation. But if we're not, and we're just going to accept that it's worth the world star moment to sit around and film fights, it's worth the world star moment of going viral to sit around and film these altercations, then when somebody pulls up and gets shot, we can't then cry victim and say, oh, this is nobody else's fault but the cops. Because that's just not being honest. And again, it's messed up and it's tough to say, but we got to be honest in our looking at ourselves, looking at our culture to understand the difference between a George Floyd case and a case like this. Between the case when you got somebody visibly beating up a cop, I think that was last year when it was like the dude was beating up the cop in the drive-thru. Yeah, in Atlanta. That's different than, some people hunting or chasing down Ahmaud Arbery and then end up killing. those are different cases. Each one is different. One is a clear indication of somebody, you know, hunting down this person, and one is a case of a cop having to make a decision that could potentially save their life or somebody else's life. And that's the unfortunate reality of these type of cases. It's unfortunate. It is divisive. It is triggering. It is hurtful. It's just messed up. But we got to be honest with ourselves to understand that there's a difference in these types of cases, and not to conflate them to create, again, this media-driven narrative that creates this divide between races.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Yeah, it's just an unfortunate event all around, man. It's not really much more I can say to add on to any of it, but yeah, these adults in that situation, every single one of them, man, just disgusting. Disgusting. Yeah, let's go ahead and move on. Let's go ahead and get to these positivity shout outs. Again, like I said, it's just been tough. It's been tough week. A lot of just bad news, just kind of back to back to back. Some for my positive shout out, I'm actually just gonna kinda go with some rest in peace. I wanna say rest in peace to Digital Underground co-founder Shock G. He passed away at 57. And then I also want to say rest in peace to, excuse me, I'm gonna make sure I don't say the right name wrong. Kentucky basketball star Terrence Clark. He passed away at the age of 19 following a car accident. And it is just kind of, it's one of those things that life is so precious, man. Like you don't know when your next day is gonna be, your last day is gonna be. And every day is not promised. And it just make you. You really stop and think about all, you know, the grudges that you may be having against people, the gripes that you may have about your life and how it's going. But you got air in your lungs. You know what I mean? Like you got the ability to change that. You got the ability to change how your life is going. And I would urge you to do so. I was just talking to King before this started recording. I don't think that right now at the age of 57, that's going to be like my last year. Right. Like I plan to live way longer than 57. That's way too soon. Surely. Right. And then to think of that, a 19-year-old star basketball player would just be driving in his car or as a passenger, excuse me, and just get into a wreck and die. It feels crazy to say. It feels even crazier to read. But the concept of just you don't know when your last day is. It's nuts, right? Like, you make plans. Like, me and King, like, we making plans this year. Like, hey, we're going to see each other sometime in December or something like that in Hawaii or wherever we want to go. And to think that I don't make it to that point, right? Like, I take that for granted sometimes, right? I take it for granted that, because I feel like those days are going to come. Like, those days, I'm going to go, haven't been home to Omaha, Nebraska since 2019. Like, I'm thinking in my head, like, oh, I'll have plenty of time to do that later on, but maybe I won't. And maybe those people that I want to see won't have the chance to see me again either. You know, you just never know. And life is so precious. So just make sure, tell your loved ones that you love them. Take care of yourself. Don't give it up for things like this. We don't know what exactly the reasons for Shock G death was, but he was found dead in his hotel room. But again, just take care of yourself, man. It's tough out here. It really is.
Yeah, and just to keep in that same vein, I want to send a rest in peace to DMX, man. And just even younger, passing away at the age of 50, it's just, it's tough when you get a loss like that, man. Because it's like, he is one of the most, like, he had some of the highest highs of a rap career, and he had some of the lowest lows of a rap career. To the point where, like, on camera, battling and beating Jay-Z, to the point where being, you know, touted as a crackhead, you know, just all the jokes and all the things. And it's all fun and games when that person is alive. Same thing with like Whitney Houston. But then when they pass away from their addiction, when they pass away from their struggling with their demons, it kind of puts into perspective how serious those things are. And this is a person that's been crying out for help for years and has been told it with all types of jokes. You know what I mean? All types of things. And it's like, it's crazy. And again, hip hop is a microcosm of our community. You know, we all know a DMX, you know, that type of personality in our real life. We all know these type of characters. And just to see the struggles that he dealt with you know, internally, externally, the things that he showed us on camera. And at the same time, still being a humble soul, still being a praying man, still kind of just fighting. And, you know, even when he did his verses with Snoop Dogg, like even Snoop just like, hey, bro, you got to hit us with a prayer. You know what I mean? Just still giving that duality of like, you in the darkness, but you're trying to find a light, you know? And I just think that it's so tragic that we lost him at 50, but it's also a testament to everything that he got done in his 50 years. Like when it comes to music, when it comes to his family, when it comes to movies, when it comes to just everything like culture, like he had everybody riding dirt bikes. He had everybody, you know, out there with the dogs. You know what I mean? Like you can even say like Meek is a mini DMX, you know, from the screaming to the bikes to everything. Like he's birthed so many people. You know what I mean? To the battles, and like he done tore up Jay-Z, he done tore up DMX, he done tore up the one dude. Like he has classics, and to lose him, it's just so eye opening to see. Like Kevo said, how precious life is, and Nipsey always said. He said in his track "The Mansion," one of my favorite songs is. He said, "A marathon, my nigga, I'm on one for as long as the Lord pump air through these lungs," and it's like that's the mentality we gotta have because we losing so many people at such young ages. Like I think Black Rob passed away as well, right? Mm-hmm. From a Bad Boy. And it's like, these are all young men. You know what I mean? Relatively speaking, they are young men. We losing them at such a young age in such tragic ways. It's like, we have to embody that marathon mentality. We have to do better. When we speak on these issues, there should not be comparisons to Rodney King in 2021. I was damn near 30 years ago. We have to start making changes. We have to start doing better, and we have to learn from the mistakes and the lessons from the previous generations. And we have to make sure that if we see somebody on the trajectory of DMX, not to let their demons get the best of them. If we see somebody that could potentially be a change in our community, to make sure that they don't end up the next George Floyd or the next Breonna Taylor, and making sure that we have a justice system that does right by us. We can't continue to let these things happen over and over again and then blame the system that nothing is changing when we have such bright people, we have such capable people, and we have such meaningful people in our community. We need to step up to make sure that we honor those. And I feel like we need to do that by honoring those that came before us and recognizing them as well. So a big rest in peace to DMX.
It's tough, man. It really is. It's the amount of people that we've lost in the last two to 3 years. Is insane. Is insane. It's truly talented people, truly just with a bright future. Even at 57 or even at 50 for DMX, like just still having a bright future, just leading mentoring the new age. So it's disappointing, man. We really need to take care of each other, take care of ourselves, and we need to start we need to figure something out, because we should be living till 80, 90s, 100s, like We not even make it to half of that, a lot of us, and it's sad. It really is. So, yeah. Sad episode, man. I'm sorry. I apologize to y'all. I'd like to crack a joke, but I ain't got nothing on me right now. I ain't even got it on me yet. I ain't even bring it with me.
I ran out all them jokes.
I ran out all jokes, bro.
So I hit the pat like,
Yeah, damn. Fresh out, bro.
I ain't even bring none of them, dog. Bro.
But we appreciate y'all tuning in. Oh, wait. Ashanti with a white man is funny. It's not funny because you with a white man. It's funny because Tom Twitter is reacting to her being with a white man. That's why it's funny. But it's funny because she came out and said it's not even her boyfriend. But I just thought that was funny because everybody. Man. It's just funny how people react to stuff like that. Like, I really could care less. Well, the only reason I care is because I love Ashanti, and that's my wife in my head. So him being with her, even next to her, is offensive to me. But that's just me. I'm obviously a creeper. So
all I know is, man, somebody check Dr. Umar blood pressure.
Dr. Umar so stressed the fuck out.
He been asking for voluptuous, nappy-headed queens to submit applications.
Me too. Me too.
Bro, Chet Heck said it, bro. It's a white boy summer, dog.
Me too. Oh, no, it ain't. No, the fuck it ain't. No, the fuck it ain't.
He dropped the music video. He dropped
the music video. No, get the fuck out of here. No, it ain't. No, the fuck it ain't. I don't know who told you that.
It's a white boy summer, bro. I don't know where that information
came from. We need a fact check on that.
We got to sit this one out, brother.
No, we need a fact check on that. Yeah, no, we need a fact check on that. We can't have this. That's fake news. That's fake news. Well, you got any closing remarks?
I appreciate y'all for tuning in again. I can't thank y'all enough for just sticking with us to tuning in. It's just a great response on that last episode, last video. So continue to listen, continue to tune in. We appreciate all the support.
Yeah, and applications, you can submit them at Kevo Ren. We appreciate y'all tuning in. This is the Little My Pod.
Oh man.
Oh shit.
Dog, that fucking video. I gotta watch it down, dog.